Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome the four intrepid and experienced players of the game who are taking part this week. We welcome back two of our most senior players of the game, that is Clement Freud and Peter Jones, and we welcome two other regular players of a different generation, that is Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh Harvey. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who's going to keep the score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four players to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. This particular recording is coming from the new radio theatre in the centre of Broadcasting House. And Peter Jones, will you begin the show this week? Big Bang Theory. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, it's the way that several scientists describe the creation of the universe. The Big Bang Theory, they called it. And it was also given to the change...
Kit Hesketh-Harvey challenge.
It was an hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yes, which is hesitation. So, Kit, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject, the Big Bang Theory. You have 47 seconds, starting now.
As one walks through Trafalgar Square in the heart of this great metropolis, coachloads of Japanese tourists descend and say, "Can you tell me any theory how we find Big Bang?" And you point to the Houses of Parliament. Say, "There it is, in all its radiant beauty, erected by Nicholas Pougin, as I think he was called, or Pugin, I'm not quite sure how..."
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition.
Of Q.
Pugin and Pugin.
A repetition of Pugh, anyway. So, Clement, you have a correct challenge. You take over the subject of the Big Bang Theory. 26 seconds are available, starting now.
If you inflate a large brown paper bag and bang your fist against it, compare the noise it makes to a hydrogen bomb and a grenade thrown into a lavatory basin, you will very soon come to a Big Bang Theory and decide which one made the most noise. It is not a particularly sensible thing to do, nor is this, I believe, a very brilliant...
He just kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. Kit Hesketh-Harvey, would you take the subject of Dracula and tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
He was purportedly the ancestor of our own sweet and gracious Princess Michael of Kent, a very unfair accusation to level at her. He was biographized by Bram Stoker.
Paul Merton challenged.
Biographized. Yes,
good word.
Well, it was a good word on the spur of the moment to keep it going, but we'd usually say if you're deviating from English as we understand it, or as it is written or spoken, we give that as a deviation, and Paul, you are correct. 46 seconds. Dracula, starting now.
In the first Dracula film starring Bela Lugosi, there is an exchange of dialogue which I've always treasured because I think it's very funny, but in the film it's meant to be horrific. And they're staying at a country house, and Van Helsing comes up to Dracula and says, "There has been some informal talk amongst the house guests. We notice you cast no reflection in the looking glass." To which Dracula replies, "I don't feel very well."
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of film.
No, you said right feel very well.
No, right at the beginning.
I wanted to hear the story. You mentioned the film twice. A very clever challenge and a very sporting one. You let him go, so we got the story out. And new challenge for repetition of film. Correct, Clement. 16 seconds. Dracula, starting now.
I do 10.
Peter Jones challenge.
2/3 of a second. Pause.
No, he got going before, actually. Only half a second. I was looking at my...
Only half?
No, Peter, we can't challenge as rapidly as that. Dracula, still with you. 15 and a half seconds, Clement, starting now.
I do...
Peter...
Yes? Another half second, that takes a second.
Peter, you're so keen to get in on Dracula. We're all going to give it to you.
Well, I want to get to be part of the whole thing, you know.
13 seconds.
Look ridiculous, just sitting here and never speaking.
Peter, I agree with your challenge. And you have Dracula with 13 seconds to go, and it's starting now.
I always wanted to play Dracula when I was in Rep, because the idea of wearing these fangs and sinking them into the neck of some attractive young lady always appealed to me, because I always played comedy parts.
Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, spying. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I wasn't really going to talk about this, but some 25 years...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Deviation. He said he wasn't going to talk about it. Now he started talking about it.
I think the audience applause endorses the shrewdness of your challenge. Shall we give it to you, Paul? 55 seconds... on spying, starting now.
Well, I think the subject should be given back to Clement.
Clement Freud, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. You two have your private game going just to get points between each other. 52 seconds on spying with you, Clement, starting now.
This was not a subject I had been going to raise, but having been given spying, I thought it was possibly time to relate an incident when a man came up to me and said, "We would very much like you to join M15. As a consequence, I went to...
Oh, my challenge.
Hesitation.
The abs collapse, actually. 31 seconds. Spying is back with you, Paul, starting now.
A couple of years ago, I was asked by MFI to spy for them. And they were particularly keen to find out more about a certain Swiss furniture maker that was importing put-together wardrobes at a price which they couldn't match, quite frankly, and they wanted to know how it was done. So I had to disguise myself as a Dutch sea captain with one leg, and the other one was wooden, which was made out of one of those units you put together, and I had a drawer that came out the side of it where you can keep your socks and underpants, but that's...
You should have done more spying. It's hysterical. Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and at the end of that round, he's equal in the lead with Clement Freud. Then comes Peter Jones, and then Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is fortune-telling. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Crystal balls, tea leaves, tarot cards, the lines on your hand, these are all perfectly acceptable methods for people who claim to be fortune tellers. They will tell you about your future, which I suppose is quite good. There's no point in them telling you about your past because you were there when it happened. They will say you will meet a tall, dark stranger, or I see a long journey across the sea. Of course, it's all rubbish. We have Mystic Meg on the television at the moment, who pops up just before the National Lottery and she says, "I see the colour blue." In a winner's life, you know, everybody's got a bit of that colour in their life, I suppose. I mean, you could say, well, that's the tablecloth or the wallpaper or the teapot that Auntie Nellie gave to us just before she died in that tragic hang gliding accident off the Empire State Building. I have never had my fortune told because if it was true, I wouldn't like to know.
Kit Hesketh-Harvey.
We've had two truths, haven't we?
Yes,
we've had lots of truths, actually, bless it.
And Kit, you've cleverly got in with 5 seconds to go on fortune telling. What do you mean, oh, he was rather clever on it? This is the most prejudiced audience we've had yet. Fortune-telling with you, Kit, starting now.
I once had a Chinese fortune cookie which told me you will burn your hand on liquid biscuit as you put this bit of...
So Kit Hesketh-Harvey was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he has moved forward into third place, but he's only 1 point behind Clement Freud and Paul Merton, and 1 point ahead of Peter Jones. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject, growing old. Can you tell us something about that and reassure us, starting now?
How nice that they've singled me out to talk about this particular subject. One of the disadvantages is that one's old friends are no longer with us. Many of them have passed on, dropped off the twig or whatever you call it. On the other hand, there are people who weren't very nice to one in one's youth who also have gone on to a better place. Now, I'm very grateful to the BBC because they don't recognise age as such on the radio, because here we are in just a minute and there seems no limit to the...
What? Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes, when you thought about the limit and 27 seconds. Growing old, Paul, starting now.
Of course, it's something we do every day in the way that spring comes before summer and autumn is the bit before winter.
Clever Freud challenge.
Repetition.
Yes, it wasn't one of your most inspired goes,
no.
I must say.
I'm trying to avoid not saying the same thing twice.
I know, it
is. Another word and said that twice instead.
17 seconds, Clement, on growing old, starting now.
I went to Maurice Chevalier's 80th birthday party in Grasse in Provence, and he made a speech on the subject of growing old, and he said, people ask me how it is to be the age I am, and I say, think of the alternative.
Clement Freud kept going to the whistle end, gained that extra point for doing so, and is now in the lead at the end of the round. Kit Hesketh-Harvey, it is your turn to begin. The subject is quangos. Will you tell us something about those strange and more modern phenomena starting now?
It's a marvellous word for Scrabble, of course. If you can get the beginning of it onto the triple word score, you'd be up and away. It sounds also like a name of a fruit drink that's in a fizzy bottle, a mixture of quince and mango, but principally it's a little furry animal that was introduced by the Tory party in about 1976 and has proliferated somewhere between a koipu and a jackal, I think. They have managed to ring them. They find they're particularly apparent in the counties where the wives of Tweedy Conservative MPs, who have nothing better to do, flit from quango to quango, making heaps and heaps of money. And
Clement Freud challenge.
And heaps. Oh, dear.
Which is your challenge?
The fizzy bottle I didn't like.
So what is it that...
Deviation. You can't have a fizzy bottle.
Very clever, yes. And 26 seconds are available for you on quangos, Clement, starting now.
There was a time before I grew old when I knew exactly what Q-U-A-N-G-O stood for.
Yes. He just seemed to come to a halt.
He did come to a halt.
All I wanted to say.
And you got in first, because that's hesitation, and there are 15 seconds left for you to tell us something about quangos starting now.
Well, it's little groups of people who are not elected by the public who decide on various important things to do with our lives. They interfere, they make...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of they.
I know, it's a tough one, though, isn't it? But it's correct. 4 seconds for you on quangos, Paul, starting now.
Quick undress angel, never go outside sunbathing.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud, and equal in second place are Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Peter Jones. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject, muscles. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Muscles, I'm sure most of the audience know, is the name by which Nicholas Parsons is known in the trade. It is also, actually, a bivalve mollusk, which you eat, especially when there is no R in the month, because mussels don't really get too good when the water is too warm. You eat them primarily as a first course, or maybe if you have huge patience or are
Peter
Belgian.
Jones, you're challenged.
Repetition of eat.
Yes, that's right, Peter. Well, listen, repetition of eat. Yes. You eat them and...
What on earth else would you do with them? Take them to a
massage.
That's
a perfectly valid comment, but in just a minute, you can't repeat a word, and you repeated eat, I'm afraid, Clement. Peter got in with 32 seconds on muscles starting now.
Well, you can kind of stuff them with different items, I suppose, if you really are keen on it. But I would hesitate to...
Well, someone pressed the buzzer, but no light has come on. So, Paul's gone in now.
Well, it was hesitation.
Paul, 22 seconds, muscles starting now.
I've never had very strong muscles, particularly. I used to be quite good at football, and so the muscles in my legs were quite well developed, but I've never had the muscles in the upper body. I'm no good at lifting things. I think you're always willing to pay somebody enormous amounts of money to do that kind of heavy task. I get so frustrated if somebody says to me when I'm walking down the street, give us a hand with this coffin and get it in the back of the car, because it's not my job.
Paul Merton once again was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. Paul, it's also your turn to begin, and the subject is lodgers. Will you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
There's this 88-year-old man who goes to the doctor and he says, I'm thinking of getting married and my bride-to-be is only 21. What do you think I should do? And the man that he went to see said, well, my advice is get a lodger in. So 6 months later, the old man's walking down the street and he sees the medical practitioner coming towards him and he says, oh, how's the wife? He says, she's pregnant. He says, how's the lodger? She's pregnant as well. Now, that kind of sums up what a lot of people think about lodgers. They seem to have a rather shifty reputation. It's a rather strange position to be.
Oh, Kit,
there were two rathers, I'm afraid.
There were two pregnants, too, but no.
Yeah, no.
Kit, 26 seconds on lodgers, starting now.
There is the famous story of a very considerable comedian, whose initials may or may not be NP, who was so generous that he went down to the docks every single night and brought back to his lodgings on tour Polish seamen with whom he would discourse late, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Saved by the Bell.
Yes, Clement. You challenged, right, late.
Yes.
And 11 seconds on lodgers, starting now.
What part of Poland do you come from, he used to ask these navigating Eastern European gentlemen as they removed their upper and outer garments for the greater facility of an actor whose name may well have held the initials.
Now, Clement is back in the lead with Paul Merton, and Peter Jones and Kit Hesicardi are still equal in second place. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, fleece. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I remember being in a theatrical company for a long time in a small town where the inn was called the Fleece, and we used to go there for lunch, and it was awfully expensive. So I felt the place was really very aptly named. The only redeeming feature was a waitress called Martita, and she was extremely attractive. And if I'd had my way with her, I mean, if I'd been able to...
Peter Harvey.
I'm sorry, I was saving him from getting more flustered than he already was.
I'm not flustered. You wasn't flustered at the time.
Oh, no, you weren't.
Kit Hesketh-Harvey, you had a correct challenge, 33 seconds. Fleece, starting now.
One of the greatest legends, of course, is that of Jason and the Golden Fleece, and you will remember when he was starring in Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamboat, he was accused of...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two amazings.
Yeah. Fleece is with you, Clement, and there are 23 seconds left, starting now.
Hey there, mister, you'd better mind your sister, because the Fleece Inn was one of my favourite songs of the early post-war American musicals. I'm not sure what sort of fleece was in at the time, but it could well have been the Golden Fleece, which was the ship which took the children of the King of Thebes to wherever...
Clement Freud is back in the lead again. Kit Hesketh-Harvey, your turn to begin. The subject, vanity. Vanity. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It's up there with the other seven deadly sins, isn't it? Sloth and lust and avarice and gluttony and all those things. I'm particularly vain about my bottom. I'm rather proud of it. I slap it against the shower wall 36 times every morning to keep it pert and trim. It's something I learned from Richard Gere.
Paul Merton.
This isn't vanity, it's sadomasochism.
It might be sadomasochism to you, but...
But to you, it's a way of life.
Yes. You've got to say, I do feed him wonderful cues, don't I? There we are. But the point is that, to my mind, Kit established that, however outrageous his behaviour, it was his way of trying to keep him trim and being vain. 43 seconds on vanity starting now.
I'm delighted to have been afforded this opportunity to discourse at further length about my posterior, which was so famous that as a penniless undergraduate, I used, in fact, a model for life classes, and this particular portion of my anatomy is now hanging in the Tate Gallery.
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of anatomy.
You had anatomy before,
I'm
yes.
Sorry.
No, no, to apologise. It's just that someone gets in, it's Peter Jones, and he has 30 seconds. You tell us something about vanity, Peter, starting now.
It sounds rather a long time to talk about vanity. I wasn't listening terribly attentively to this business in the shower, but one does try, naturally, to look one's best as one...
you've got it back.
He was trying, bless him.
He was trying, yes. You've got the subject back. 15 seconds on vanity starting now.
The book of Ecclesiastes, of course, in the Old Testament, says vanity of...
Clement Freud, challenge.
It's his third, of course.
You did say, of course,
he's
before.
I'm getting terribly... I must get rid of this, of course. Mm-hmm.
I know.
So
Peter Jones used to do it a lot, but now after...
No, Peter Jones always began with well.
Oh, that's right. Kenneth Williams.
Days.
Kenneth used to say it. Was it that right?
Kenneth said, of course.
Yes, of course.
When we get back from memory lane... we get on with it.
11 seconds are left for you, Clement, on vanity, starting now.
There's a very good American magazine called Vanity, which has features on food...
Kate has it, Harvey.
It's Deviation, it's Vanity Fair.
It's Vanity Fair, I think.
No, that's a different magazine.
Oh.
We have one American in the audience. Is that true or not?
I only know Vanity Fair.
So do we. Right. Thank you very much. We brought you along specially to... Kit, I agree with the challenge. Vanity, 5 seconds are left, starting now.
Which was purportedly by King Solomon himself, although they discovered later it wasn't. Vanity of vanities.
Lots of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went. He's moved rapidly forward. He's just behind Paul Merton. Clement Freud is just in the lead, and Peter Jones is just in there as well. And Clement Freud, your personality is now hopefully going to shine on myths for 60 seconds, starting now.
It is a myth that you can use just a minute to tell a joke, because it is simply impossible unless you have awfully nice people who are not going to challenge you. Mr., Mrs. and Myth is the sort of awful 20th century definition of someone who can't make up their mind whether or not they are married. I think I'll stop there. Really.
Kit, you got in, yes. 34 seconds on myths with you, Kit, starting now.
One of the more bizarre myths is that where Zeus disguised himself as a swan and went down to a girl called Leda, and I can only say Leda, removed the feathered glory...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two Ladas.
Ladas. I mean, I know it was a different word you were using, but it's, it's radio, so it is as it sounds.
That's very complex. No, that's fine. Lederhosen, right. Then, is out as well, isn't it? Which is a shame.
25 seconds. Back with you, Clement. I think he saved you from something being... And you've challenged again, Kit. Hesitation. Yes. Well done. You've got the subject.
Was it
hesitation? 25 seconds on myths starting now.
Another one, of course, is in Wagner's Ring, where Siegmund and Lieg stop it. Siegmund and Sieglinde.
It's Paul Merton challenge.
Of Siegmund?
Siegmund, yes, he said stop it and he started again. 16 seconds for you, Paul, on myth starting now.
Nicholas Parsons is an extremely well-loved entertainer that the British public have taken to their hearts over the last 65 years. This, of course, is a myth. Because he's more...
I hope you are applauding the whistle and not what he said. There we are. Paul Merton wasn't speaking as the whistle went. He gained an extra point. He's in second place, just behind Clement Freud. Kit Hesketh-Harvey is right on his heels. Peter Jones is not far behind them. We're moving into the last round, and the subject is big ears. And poor Merton, it's your turn to begin.
Elephants have big ears so they can hear ants running towards them. In the wild, the elephant and the ant are natural enemies, and it's not rare to see them locked in mortal combat. The same can be said of the bee and the antelope. These two at first completely disparate creatures.
Hesitation, yes. So, Big Ears is with you, and you have 40 seconds on Big Ears starting now.
A famous pachyderm who had no truck with ants was, of course, Dumbo, to whom Big Ears were a marvellous asset. We wept, didn't we? We laughed, we sobbed when we saw him leap
and
from...
And Peter Jones, you challenged.
We.
Repetition of we.
That's right, yes. So, Peter, in on Big Ears with 29 seconds left starting now.
Yes, I think the Prince of Wales has got rather large ears. And while I'm on the subject, his eyes seem to be too close together.
Peter, you challenged.
Did I?
You challenged yourself.
Oh, yeah.
What? Hesitation.
What?
Peter, you hesitated, you challenged yourself. I think that was brilliant.
So I get another point.
So it's a correct challenge. You have another point, yes.
Wow, that's really good.
'Cause I know why I'm in charge and you're not, you see. Because I can give him a point, you can't. So, Peter, you very cleverly listened to yourself there and you challenged yourself. You got in, another point to you, and you have 12 seconds on Big Ear starting now.
Well, as I was saying earlier...
Paul Merton challenge.
I'd like to make an incorrect challenge.
Well, what is your incorrect challenge?
Too much red.
Peter, an incorrect challenge. You have another point.
Ah. And,
you have 11 seconds on Big Ear, starting now.
Well, as I was saying earlier...
Kenneth Floyd challenge.
I think I made a mistake.
Yes. Nine seconds on Big Ears with you, Peter, starting now.
You see, you've been on this show for such a long time, and the BBC never...
Hesith Harvey Chan.
No, he's absolutely right. He has been on the show for hours and hours. I'm sorry, I got it wrong.
So your challenge is what?
I'm incorrect. I'm sorry.
Vicky, you're doing well. 5 seconds are left on Big Ears, starting now.
Like one of those and leaves.
Paul Merton, you challenged twice.
Yep. Repetition of office furniture.
You're still stuck in the MFI when you were spying.
I didn't say office furniture. I said cat food.
Oh. Well, you've got 4 seconds to continue on Big Ears after another incorrect challenge starting now.
And I'm very pleased that you're still with us. Because if you were not, I should probably have been...
You gain more points in that round than anybody's ever gained in one round. And it's my duty now to give the final score, which is a very interesting result because Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh-Harvey were equal in second place, but they were only 1 point behind joint winners because Peter came from nowhere to finish up alongside Clement Freud as our joint winners. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four outstanding players of the game, which is Peter Jones, Paul Merton, Clement Freud and Kit Hesketh-Harvey, also want to thank Elaine Wigley for blowing her whistle so well and keeping the score for me, and also Ian Messiter for creating the game and thinking up the subjects, and for Anne Jobson for producing and directing the show. From all of them and from me, Nicholas Parsons, it's goodbye, and we hope you will tune in again the next time we take to the air to play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us, goodbye!